Welcome to Health Podcast in Ghana, information about a variety of medical subjects. Before we start this podcast, don't forget the following. These Health Podcasts provide free of charge information about general medical conditions and problems. It is in no case a substitute for a doctor. For questions about your own situation, we refer you to a health care professional.
Hello, my name is Dana Hafiz Babalana. Welcome to Health Podcast Ghana. It's good you are listening. Before we begin, please don't forget that Health Podcast Ghana is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and many more. Just search Health Podcast Ghana and you will find us. You will find the clear episodes on malaria, blood pressure, diabetes, meningitis, many more in English, Kokumba, Dagbani, and Chi languages. Today, we are hearing once again from our reliable resource person, Francis Kweku Owusu, who is a senior nurse manager at Karaga Municipal Hospital. Today's episode is tetanus, once again. So stay tuned and get more information. Remember, our goal with this podcast is to help you understand this topic and take steps towards better health. Mr. Francis, you are welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Hafiz.
Yes. Tetanus. When I was a kid, tetanus was one of the issues I battled with a lot.
Serious.
So I'm sure I'm not the only person who is related to this issue.
Yeah.
So what is tetanus, Mr. Francis?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Hafiz. Tetanus is a bacterial infection that is caused by Clostridium tetani. The name of the bacteria is what I'm trying to mention.
Okay.
It's called Clostridium tetani.
Oh,
but
okay.
But it's a bacteria.
Okay.
A bacteria is a germ. As I said earlier in the Ruby's podcast, realize that germ or microorganisms, there are a lot and they cause sicknesses. Some are bacteria, some are virus, fungi, and a whole lot. But this tetanus sickness is caused by a bacteria, the germ or the microorganism bacteria. And it comes about when you walk on barefoot and then you get pricked by rust needles or nails. Sometimes as you get a cut and you are walking barefoot in cow dung. You know, sometimes when babies are born in our part of the world, because of the traditional birth attendance, some of our women don't go to the hospital to deliver. They go to the TBAs, what we call the traditional birth attendants.
Yeah.
And then when they deliver this woman, they don't use clean procedures to cut the cord. So the cord gets infected and the babies get tetanus.
Oh,
sometimes
okay.
The mothers also get tetanus. You know, sometimes they even use cow dung to dress the cord. And these cow dungs are full of this bacteria because the animals are eating from the soil. And the soil has this germ inside. So the germ gets into their stomach and then they poo-poo it and go and fetch it and use to dress a baby's cord.
Oh.
For tradition, we believe that is what our great-grandparents taught us. So we have a lot of challenges in our part of the world because of some of our cultural practices or because of the way we live. Many kids are walking in town barefooted. They go to farm barefooted. Things get pricked them, they don't take care of it, and death enters. And these deaths contain these germs. And then you begin to have tetanus infection.
So that doesn't mean that this germ is not actually in the needles or the whatever, because all along I think you can only get tetanus when you are pricked by these needles or nails or on the floor. Oh, okay. So Tell us more about like the causes or what we use.
Yes. That's a very intelligent question. We all thought that tetanus is gotten when you get a prick from a metal,
Basically, yes.
Rusted metal.
Yes.
But it's not that the metal produced the bacteria.
Oh, okay.
But it's because where the metal is dirty and the bacteria or the germ is around it. So when it pricks you, you get it. Or when an animal bites, maybe snake bites, dog bites, sheep bites, or any animal, the animal, they are always eating from the ground, from the floor. And the floor has this bacteria. So this bacteria is in their mouth. It may not give them sickness. That may be a normal flora to them or normal to them. But once they bite, they introduce this bacteria into you through the bite, through the wound. And that is where we begin to develop the tetanus. So it's not really because the metal produces the bacteria tetanus.
Okay.
But because of where it lies.
It lies. Okay.
Uh-huh. So that broken bottle, piece of metal, a needle, old nail which is rusted, old metal which is rusted, sometimes even stick which is rusted on the floor, saying the skin is broken and the germ get into the skin, you can get tetanus.
Okay. So what are the complications?
Complication of tetanus can be very devastating. The book I read wrote nasty, nasty, but it can be very devastating. One of the complications, before we talk about the complication, let's look at the signs and symptoms. The sign and symptom of tetanus is once the wound is infected with the tetanus, it swells because it's not worth taking care of. Probably you didn't even go for the tetanus injection or the vaccine when you had the cut or you had the bite. So you may develop tetanus later. And when it happens, you may have fever, headache, sometimes even seizures. And then we call something lockjaw. Lockjaw. One of the cardinal signs of tetanus is lockjaw. You can't open your mouth. Sometimes difficulty in swallowing. You know, so anytime somebody is manifesting, he's hallucinating, sometimes seizures, confusion, and all that, fever, and all that, then they are not able to open their jaw. Open their mouth. That's a cardinal sign of what? Tetanus.
Mm.
When the lockjaw sets in.
Okay.
Then we are sure that this one there is not rabies, some meningitis, but it's what? Tetanus. When the lockjaw, you can't open your mouth. Your jaw is locked. That's a one major cardinal sign of tetanus. But let's talk about the complication as we ask. If it is not treated well, you know, So where we live, people always ascribe spiritism to some of these things. A child or somebody is having lockjaw, convulsion, confusion, fever. Oh, they will say it is spirit. You know, let's put water on him. Let's put garlic. The garlic will ward off the evil spirit. Let's go and look into it. Soothsayers, they will tell you their uncle or their auntie. No, what tetanus? You know, so the myth or the misconception is what always lead to the death. Because otherwise, you shouldn't die from this sickness. It's treatable. You see it? Uh-huh. So we always advise that anytime you have some of these problems, come to the hospital or go to the hospital for proper care. Because once it is mistaken to be spirits, don't go for treatment. That's where the patient will go through all the signs and symptoms of lockjaw, convulsions, fever, headache. Sometimes they even hallucinate, they talk by heart, and then sometimes they die. Because we didn't take, and then in babies, when they use the cow dung to dress the cord, or they use unsterile gadget to cut the cord, in the village, if the TBE or the traditional birth attendants is taking care of the pregnant woman and the baby is born, they don't use sterile things. So one of our educations, we always educate the TBEs to be using sterile things. Sometimes we even give them things so that, because some of the women would never come to hospital. That's their culture. So to avoid these complications, we bring the TBS or the traditional birth attendant to the hospital. Sometimes we even organize workshops in service training. So when these women come to their outfits, how they should cut the cord, how they should treat some of these newborn babies so that they don't transmit infection like tetanus to the babies because of the way they cut the cord, the way they dress the cord and all that. So sometimes we even supply them with some of the sterile things, cord clamps, spirit, clean cotton, sterile cotton, gauze, and all that to make sure that even sterile scissors or sterile blade, so that these children will not get tetanus infection in the villages, because some of the villages don't have hospital. Or sometimes where the hospital is from their home is very far. So the TBA or the traditional birth attendance is readily available in the community. So she always assists them in delivery. So we always make sure that what they use sterile things. Because when the baby gets, maybe have, so they have what we call the bulging fontanel. The gap in their head is not well closed. We call them fontanels. It's not well closed. So once the baby begins to develop, because their skull bones are not well matured or well developed, they have some gaps in between them. That is where that place begins to bulge. That's what we call neonatal tetanus. It begins to bulge and then they get fever. Sometimes they act, sometimes they be convulse. The baby is not feeding well, difficulty in swallowing, and they cry a lot. And then when they lie down, they have a way of lying. We call it arch. They bring their chest up, their stomach up, and their neck or their head go back and their leg go back. So we call it arch, in the arch position. It's a sign that the baby has what? Tetanus. Because the conducting labor wasn't done properly. It wasn't sterile. You know, it wasn't clean delivery things. So the child may develop what we call neonatal tetanus. And then, like I said, if the wounds, you go to farm, you know, Africa, where we are, most of us are farmers. School children from school go to farm, or from farm go to school, whichever way. That's where our parents eat from. That's where they feed us from. So we always assist them. But we should also always wear boots. But where is the boots? So we go barefoot. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then some of these things cut you. Trees, stem, pricks, cutlasses, farm produce, even sometimes accidents by the roadside. People get motor accident by the roadside and the wound is infected. When they come to the hospital, a lot of sand is in the wound because of the nature of the accident. The person is likely to get what? Tetanus. Not because he was cut by a sharp or a rusted nail or something, but just because there's an open wound and a lot of sand is in the wound, the person likely to get tetanus. So we have to irrigate the wound, clean the wound, give a tetanus injection or the prophylaxis, and then the wound is dressed just to avoid the tetanus. Otherwise, the complications can be very nasty. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
Tetanus can be very nasty. If you see the patient manifesting tetanus, sometimes we even have to isolate them of the lighting system, because some of them are photophobic. So we isolate them in a place where they get less disturbance and they're also irritable. The least knowing, they begin to react. You know, so we do barrier nursing for them. You know, so these are some of the complications that we always want to avoid in tetanus. Yeah.
So what can we do to prevent this from happening?
I think that is a very brilliant question. The best is to make sure you wear protective clothes, especially your feet. That's where we walk and that's where most of the cats are from. You know, you are going to farm, wear your Wellington boot or something so that it can prevent you from getting cats. And then if you get a cut, either through accident, through a bite or whatever, you go to the hospital so that you'll be given the what? The TT, tetanus toxoid, or the ATS, anti-tetanus serum. Any of these are available. And once it's given, you are sure that you will not develop the what? The tetanus. So we shouldn't treat it as usual. Some of the children, when they get the cut, they fetch sand and put it inside because they believe the sand will kill the wound. You see?
We've all done this.
But the truth is that even putting the sand is even more worse because we are introducing the bacteria, the tetanus bacteria, into the wound. And then you cause more harm than good. But that is how, I don't know who even taught us. But when you get the cut, you fetch sand and put it inside.
To prevent, to kind of stop the bleeding. I mean, that's usually easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we just fetch some herbs, cut some head, champon leaves. We just squeeze the water inside the wound. The leaf may have an antibiotic property, but the process, because your hands are not clean, the leaf probably is not even clean. It's even infected because it's an open place. You just plug it. It's not clean. So you succeed in squeezing the water into the wound with the bacteria into the wound. So you are trying to save yourself, but because the procedure is not well done, you introduce the bacteria. So my advice is that if you get a cut, a bite or whatever, accident, whatever, please go to the hospital. Even if you think you are okay, oh, just minor cut, oh, minor bruises, go to the hospital for the TT or the ATS. And then the wound must be well treated so that you don't get tetanus later.
Yeah, now I understand why they have always recommended when you have even as minor accident it is, go to hospital.
Yeah.
Usually I think when you just get up and you watch and watch, you are okay, you're strong.
Some small bruises, oh, it's
why,
okay.
Why can I, should I take this? I could just go buy plaster and then put on it and fine.
You know.
Yeah, now I understand. So please remember, you say what? Go to hospital. Don't underrate any minor bruises or cuts on you. Do you still wanted to say something else?
I think what I want to focus on is our women who deliver in the villages.
Okay.
That has been our major concern, because these babies are innocent. Like I said, they use cow dung. I don't know who taught them that, but they use cow dung to dress the baby's cord. And the baby is still fragile. The baby's immune system is still low. So when you use this cow dung to dress the baby's cord, the cow dung has a lot of bacteria. And one of the bacteria may be the what? Tetanus sickness bacteria. So you succeed in putting the cow dung on the cord, trying to help the cord heal or to fall off without any complications. But you introduce the sickness into the child, tetanus. You see, what I realize, the child is having tetanus. And then unfortunately, when the child have this sickness, we don't also bring them to the hospital. We ascribe spiritism to some of these things, myth, a lot of misconception, a lot of superstitions. Oh, it's the uncle. Oh, the grandmother, when it was coming, the grandmother messaged the child. And the child, oh, is the name that they give the child. One, they brought the baby and the baby was having a lot of complications, a new name. And then they told me that they named the baby and the baby didn't like the name. So they have to go to the Afa. The Afa is the malam who named the child. They have to go to the Afa to change the name of the baby. Otherwise, the baby will not accept that, so the baby is crying like that. But the child was obviously sick. So if they have not come to the hospital, a nurse went there for outreach and they brought the child to the hospital, otherwise they would have sat in the village thinking the baby doesn't like the name.
And eventually the baby will die.
Baby will die. This child can be a president, can be a great man in our country. But because of ignorance or because of whatever, they stay in the villages and they do their own thing there and they die. So my advice is that when the mothers give birth through the TBAs or whatever, you try as much as possible and bring them to the hospital for continual care. You see it? Because in the hospital, the child is examined. Even the weighing card, other injections are given, TT, ATS are given to the child to prevent this problems from coming. You see, even the mother herself also is taking through some care. So you, even if you give birth from the TBA, the traditional birth attendants assisted you in giving birth in your village. That's fantastic. Try and bring the baby and the mother all to the hospital or the nearby clinic or the health center for continuum of care. For the injections, the ATS, the diphtheria injections, the hepatitis injections, a lot of injections that they give to this child, even TB injections that is given to the child, the child doesn't develop certain sicknesses. Even polio is all part of this treatment that they give to these children at the weigh-in, postnatal care. So my advice is that all mothers, try and bring your kids to the hospital for continuum of care. Thank you.
All mothers, try to bring your children to the hospital, no matter what you see or no matter what the child is going through. And remember, always come to the hospital if you have any bruises, cuts or whatever. Don't sit and just do any kind of self-treatment. We would like to once again thank you, Mr. Francis, for your time. And listeners, once again, a very big thank you and special appreciation. Like I said, remember to always share the information so that you can save someone's life. Again, until we meet, don't forget that the podcast is free. Just go to any podcast app and you will find Health Podcast Ghana, and then you get more episodes on many other related health issues. Until again, bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Hopefully, this information helps you to make healthy decisions in life.